Hello, this is Matt Schlick from the Matt Schlick Live podcast, where I defend the Christian faith and lay out our foundations of the truth of God's Word. Your chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into Kingdom Pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
Oh, I am looking forward to this show. I hope you are, because I've got some guests that I know have got some stuff I can learn, and I'd love to learn it. So how fun is that? So we're so glad you joined us today on Kingdom Pursuits. First off, we have Mark Johnson back with us, and you may remember him as the author of The Covenant. And now we've got another book that we're going to talk about today, which is The Covenant of Marriage. So welcome, Mark. Welcome back, Mark.
Robbie, good morning. It's great to be here.
So how fun. I met Mark at the NRB, so I got to know him in person. But where are you calling from today?
Well, right now I'm sitting in our little, we call it the media room, overlooking a beautiful valley on a marvelous early summer morning. And that would be in Nolensville, Tennessee, which is just south of Nashville.
Okay. So you're in a different time zone. So it's like 10 there. You know, have fun. And I can tell you from having had a couple times, you know, meeting with the NRB and then having another interview, that his insights into covenant are amazing. And I think you're going to just really enjoy what he has to share. Whether you're married or not, we're all affected by it in lots of different ways. So I know this is going to be fun. But what would you say to the unmarried out there about the show today, maybe those that are widowed?
You know, it's important if anyone's contemplating marriage, even in the remotely possible sense, it's an extremely important idea, Robbie, to realize what marriage is. One reason today people are very concerned about the idea of being married is looking around. It seems to be going so poorly. What I have seen, and I've been at this a while, I'm 65 right now, and as I look around and I watch the way people conduct their marriages and I watch what happens next over time, it is amazing. If you conduct a marriage in harmony with the actual nature and function and purpose of the marriage, then it's going to grow and turn out well. If, on the other hand, you don't understand the basic nature of the relationship that you're in and you try to treat it like it's something it's not, which today everyone's trying to make it up as they go and make it whatever they want it to be. The problem is the marriage relationship is a very definite thing that has been the same thing for 6,000 years. You know, throughout recorded history, across cultures, it has been virtually the same thing for that entire time until recently in our country. And, you know, in the advanced countries, quote unquote, where now people are beginning to try to turn it into all kinds of things. And as we look around, the results just aren't very impressive and, frankly, a little scary if I'm single and I'm thinking about this. So the question is, how do we do marriage in a way that's actually going to work? The great news is God has a plan that has been in place that's been proved successful for millennia. It's just a matter of seeing the plan, understanding, and implementing it, and that's what I've tried to lay out in the book.
Yeah, very cool. Not to mention, we do have an upcoming marriage, all of us. You know, I'm trying to say yes to the dress. I mean, that's just what I'm saying to everybody out there, because you're going to be married, and you know, there's these white clothes involved. If you're extra cool, they give you some gold to go around. So, you know, it talks all about that in the Psalms. It's very cool. So say yes to the dress is what we're talking about today with Mark, but then also we have Dean Breyer. And Dean wrote a book that I'm really excited to know about, because even the title I don't understand, but that, you know, that it's called The Soth, not The Sloth, because I don't think there's a sloth initiative that moves very fast, but there is a Soth initiative, and Dean's here to share about that.
Yeah, Thanks so much for having me, Robbie. Yeah, The Soth Initiative is a book that God brought to me about 2 years ago. And Soth stands for Sect of the Healed. So it's actually a story about relatives of the people Jesus healed. And when he healed them and touched them, they had a DNA change as a result of the healing. And that DNA change came with gifts and special powers and strengths that these people had that were passed down through the centuries. And God used those to spread the Christian faith along with the apostles. So it's an exciting story about the sect of the healed, how they kept all of the artifacts down through the years, and we're going to expose these artifacts in the last days. And so, of course, they come in with a lot of resistance and a lot of intrigue, and it's pretty exciting.
So you can hear my friend Dean has a phenomenal imagination, and how cool that he got a chance to express that through this book and in that journey with God. We're going to hear more about that. But, you know, the covenant of marriage, you know, so speaking of marriage, you know, Robbie's got to do his riddle. So, speaking of marriage, Beth Ann, I don't know if you knew this, but if a cowboy and a cowgirl get married and they start bragging, I don't know if you knew this, it's a hitching boast. Yeah.
That hurt.
We need to start to groan in the distance again.
Can I say ouch?
You can.
Yeah, you can. Oh, you will again.
So when the two florists fell in love, right, the bride, she thought marriage, you know, had a nice ring to it. Okay. Naturally, being florists, as you might imagine, but then it was an arranged marriage.
Yeah
it was.
The only way they do it.
That'd be a covenant kind of thing.
Please.
And then with her marriage, she got a new name and address. There you go. You get that, you know? And we do too, eventually.
Bet you love the English language.
I still don't get it. Don't
she
explain.
Got a new name and address.
And address. Sorry.
And they were married by candlelight, but the marriage only lasted a wick. Just saying.
A wick.
And I'm telling you, my friend Mark will tell you that too many digs sends a marriage to an early grave every time. Just saying. So you knew at the end of all that hilarity.
Hey, Mark.
And groaning. Yes.
Can't we make a covenant to not do this again?
He'll never sign it. He'll never sign it.
So we are going to get to the actual riddle that you could call in and win today. So which marriage in the Bible didn't happen because of a clothes riddle? You know, it was sort of a post-dramatic dress syndrome. Which marriage in the Bible didn't happen because of a clothes riddle? And that means, like, you know, little clothes that you would wear. It was sort of a post-dramatic dress syndrome. If you know the answer to that, Beth Ann, tell them what that went.
Oh, Robbie, good stuff today. It is actually a copy of Dean Breyer's book, Soth Initiative.
There you go, in the digital version. So we just give us your email address. We're going to send it right to you. All you have to do, if you know this riddle about the clothes riddle, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. You might even say I was being a little foxy with this riddle, you know, if you happen to know the story, you know. Out of the eater, I could just say so much. But anyway, Mark, so... I know you wrote the book, The Covenant, and then you wrote this second. Did the covenant come out of the one or the one come out of the other? I'm curious.
Well, what happened, I attended a K. Arthur Bible study on covenant back in 1983. In that Bible study, she extensively referenced the book by Clay Trumbull that was written in 1885 that is still, I believe, the best look at what a covenant actually is. Today, we tend to think of a covenant in terms of a contract. And I often have heard, in fact, people say it's a contract, but one written by God. But if we look at the historic practice of blood covenants, marriage, and then of the new covenant, it is distinctly not a contract. And in fact, that was the problem that the Jewish people had when Jesus started talking about the new covenant he was going to offer in John 6. everybody kind of seized up at a point, because what he said about the nature of the relationship was so different than they expected.
Okay. We got to go to a break, Mark. I hate that. When we come back, we've got Riddlers. They're calling in on the line. And I would mention that if you happen to like my humor, if you happen to be one of the few out there, that if you go to Christian Car Guy Podcast, listen to all these editions of the comedy of the Christian Car Guy. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And how much fun are we having today with Mark Johnson? He's the author of The Covenant Marriage, and Dean Breyer, The Soth Initiative. And maybe coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Bob Uber with a Unity prayer meeting that's going to be happening in High Point this Sunday, the 14th, at the Hero Center. So we're going to hear a little bit from them. But first off, we have a Riddler who has an idea, but which, by the way, if you have another idea, it's often the case that people have three or four answers to my riddle. We are always delighted if you want to call in and share that. So we have Keith is in High Point with us. Keith, you're on Kingdom Pursuits.
Good morning.
Keith. What would
How
you
are
say?
You today?
I am good. I am actually having a lot of fun. As you might imagine.
I was thinking, is that talking about Samson?
Yeah, he did. He laid the whole clothes riddle on those people, and his marriage, you know, it may have happened, but I don't think it was consummated. It went down bad, you know?
No, it did. I don't believe it was consummated, but it went bad down for the others, too.
Yeah. That's true. You know, when you really think about it, the ones that, you know, that plowed with the wrong heifer, you know, they were in deep trouble.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to plow a Samson's heifer. I'm just...
No, he put something on them. Ajax wouldn't take off.
Thank you, Keith. That's what I was thinking anyway. So God bless you. I appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, y'all have a blessed day and a blessed week.
You too, Keith. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So I'm very curious. I mean, I really, really love the idea of the Soth Initiative, Dean, and the idea of, you know, what that DNA would do, you know, to be actually touched by Jesus and to you know, to have a body that was that had been healed by Jesus. You know, that's just absolutely brilliant. But I'm wondering, is there a story like in your own life that maybe perhaps ignited this idea?
Well, I really think the idea came from the experience I had as a unbeliever in Philadelphia in the early 70s. Like most kids, I was looking for ways to fill the hole in my life that only Jesus could. And I tried everything. And
did you try a cheesesteak?
I tried those weekly. I tried those weekly. But, you know, I tried everything the world offered, and nothing filled it. And I heard a guy describe sin as a ever-increasing desire for an ever-decreasing effect. And I was increasing my self-abuse on a regular basis. And, you know, Jesus came into my life at a youth meeting, a Young Life meeting, where I saw a bunch of kids my age that were happy, but they weren't drunk or on drugs or doing stuff that, you know, hurt them and others. And I was interested in that. The next week when the pastor gave a invitation, I received Christ. I didn't get religious. I got a relationship. And this book really is meant to promote the relationship experience with God through his son, Jesus Christ. A lot of the stories in the book relate back to healings and the personal experience of the people when they were touched by Jesus. And then their life history as they passed that gift down, and how they kind of had to keep it secret because during the different times of history, people were not interested in people with gifts and supernatural gifts. Even the church at the time looked down on it and saw it as demonic in some ways. So they had to kind of keep it secret, but yet they used it to promote the church growth. So that relationship issue is what I try to address in the book, relationship over religion.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. And I get that on all sorts of interesting levels. And speaking of relationship, Mark.
Good segue.
Yes, Robbie. Excellent segue.
So, yeah, can you kind of take us into, you know, we talked about the covenant the first time we had you in. How would you compare the marriage covenant to the original idea of a covenant?
Well, what you see, and he going back to Trumbull's book, he laid out what this relationship's all about. It's not only what you're supposed to do, but why you're supposed to do it. And even in covenant, the reason to me this has got to be authored by God is because within the nature of the relationship, we are transformed in a way that allows us, if we understand what happened, it allows us to do the things God tells us to do. I mean, the problem is you look at what we're told to do in marriage or told to do in a relationship with God, and the list looks frankly impossible. And it is, unless, so there's a plan inherent in the relationship for our progressively becoming the people that not only can do these things but enjoy them and find that this really is our best life. And I want to go back to what Jeffers said in the little promo thing about we just do what God says because he says to do it. And while that's certainly true, the other reason is when we are faithful to our covenant, faithful to the word of God, build this thing the way God says to, it is, we find the best relationship. We find the deepest love. We find love for a lifetime. What God is trying to teach us and transform us into in these relationships are people who don't build with one hand and tear down with the other hand. We're consistently building the relationship and each other, and that turns into something really beautiful. What we see when we look around are people that are tearing each other apart, as you say, you know, just enough digs and you've dug your own grave. <You know? laughs> So if we understand the nature of the relationship, then we can build it properly. If we don't, you know, it and just wing it, you know, we see what happens.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, is the foundation that we build it, and I loved what you just said, although I found myself quite guilty of it, as I'm building with one hand and tearing down with the other. My wife would tell you I'm pretty good at that.
And we all do that, and that's where all of us start. And we never perfect that in this life, and that's not the point. The point is growth and progress, because if we're growing together, we will grow together. You know, like this marriage is not just a tie that binds. In God's plan, it's also a very extremely intricate and detailed development process that allows us to live and love in every realm of life better and better and better. And we're either walking that path or we're not. And what I've tried to lay out in the book and the covenant of marriage is how you take the understanding of a covenant and actually go build one. And then I'll take you through what our marriage looks like, all the elements in that marriage, because I wouldn't trade marriage with anybody I've ever heard of. Not that it's perfect, but it's still something that I want to write a book to show people how you can have this. You know, in contrast to what we see so often looking around, I mean, it just breaks my heart to see people struggling in this relationship, because we're all equally married, but all marriages aren't equal. You know why? Because of how we conduct the relationship. Well, God's got a plan for that.
Yeah, as I'm listening and I'm thinking about the relationship and the obedience that you're talking about, that when I, you know, started off my Christian walk and people were discipling me, you know, they're like, well, you got to get in, you know, you got to read the Bible, you got to read the Bible, you got to read the Bible. And, you know, initially that was a very dry experience. I really struggled to understand anything.
But exactly.
I began to pursue it as a relationship rather than, you know, under the obedience of having to do this. And at some point, God let me break free where it was completely, where are we going today, Jesus? What are we going to learn today, Jesus? Let's have fun together. And it began to where I am playing in my Bible study it completely in the relationship. And so I don't go in with any agenda ever. Like, I'm not going to try to get the Bible done. And I know a lot of people enjoy that, and I'm glad they do, and they can play with that. I'm glad. But for me, it's like, I can't do that. It's not because I don't get up in the morning going, oh, goody, here I get to go. Because I'm like,
and you're Robbie,
that's the difference. Now, what you're telling me, and I knew this inherently, however I don't practice it, is that through the obedience of trying to build with both hands,
yeah.
You know, at some point that this begins to flow as, you know, that it actually starts to take on to a life of its own. Am I getting that?
Yeah, and Robbie, what I've found, I think the most important lesson I've learned in here is that a contract is about what we do. If we think our relationship with God is a contract, it's about us doing certain things because God says so. That gets pretty dry. That's like following traffic laws. Now, that doesn't grow your heart toward anybody. You know, the person that authored the stop sign is not like an object of my affection. But on the other hand, if we understand that this is about a relationship and how we build the relationship best, deepest, and to be most rewarding, you know, it's about growing a relationship with God that, like you're saying, is consummately enjoyable. So if we understand that everything we're to do in this that God says is about our benefit, like it really is for our best interest,
and
best relationship.
As Dean, you were saying, and I was thinking about this, these people were healed physically, but that led to the relationship. And I'm really fascinated how you make that happen.
Well, in the book, you know, when we read a lot of the Bible healings, I bring in the book and I make them a very personal experience. One of them is about the deaf and mute man who was standing by the road. And I talk about how Jesus came to him and looked into his eyes, and I describe that experience of when God looks deep into our eyes. And this person didn't know Jesus. He wasn't a Christian yet. But he experienced the powerful relationship with Jesus at that moment. And that was impactful for the rest of his life and passed it down to his relatives.
Wow. So we got so much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming up with Mark Johnson, The Covenant Marriage, and Dean Breyer, The Soth Initiative. And we're going to hear from Bob Uber, I believe, in a minute. So stay tuned. So much more. Kingdom Pursuits coming at you. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And we are blessed to have Bob Uber with us. We actually have Mark Johnson and Dean Breyer with us, but we just got Bob Uber with us. And he has a passion for heroes in all sense of the word, is that, you know, especially through our military, first responders and that kind of thing. And under the current circumstances, he has set up an event, the Unity Prayer Meeting in High Point. It's coming this Sunday, the 14th, at 4 p.m. at the Hero Center. Bob, it's good to have you on, buddy.
Yes, Robbie, good to be on again. It's been a while. I hope you're doing well. But we do have an event that we are very, very excited about, and I would want to announce that I'm joined in this conversation with one of the leaders of the diversity movement in our city, Reverend Orrick Quick. Say hi, Ori, to Robbie Gilmore.
Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I am absolutely thrilled that you took the time to be with us today and share kind of your vision for this event that's coming up tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Hero Center.
Sorry, what's the first mark? Well, I'm excited to be with you all, and I'm most definitely grateful to God that God has allowed me to be in this position. I believe that when you are sent by God, that miracles happen. Things happen when you are sent by God. If you're not sent by God, you're pretty much on your own. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful for, even on last Sunday, when all races came together for that march, when we marched through this the city of High Point, where the police officers, white, black, Asian, every different race came together for our march, justice, one nation for justice. And so I'm excited because we're all coming together for prayer. If there's anything that moves the hand of God. It is prayer. When we humble ourselves and when we turn and we pray and we seek His face and turn, then things happen. So I'm most definitely excited about this event that Mr. Bob Huber is having me to be a part of. I'm most definitely excited about that.
So, Bob, how do people, if they're in the High Point area, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, you want to come pray? This is on a lot of our hearts, all that's going on. Bob, how do you get to the Hero Center in High Point?
Yes, Robbie. It is community-wide. It is area-wide. Our address is 1500 Bridges, B-R-I-D-G-E-S, Bridges Drive. For landmarks, we're near High Point University. We're across the road from the old Oak Hall Mall. We're also identified as sharing this property with the John Wesley Campground. That is all the same property. So we're excited. We have capacity. We will be opening all the doors of the auditorium so that those who are concerned about social distancing, if they just bring a lawn chair, this will be an indoor-outdoor. This auditorium has massive doors that open up, and the sound of prayer will be this crescendo in the neighborhood and hopefully beyond.
That's beautiful, Bob. That's just wonderful. Thank you for doing that. That is an awesome thing. So also with us along the same lines is we have Amy Cabo, who is the host of The Cure. And Amy's show comes on at 1 o'clock here on the Truth Network, and I'm so excited because you actually have a retired police sergeant, is it, Amy, who's going to be on with you today live?
Yes, sir, and not only that, but he was part of the armed forces.
So also a hero in a couple of senses, yeah.
Well, most of us haven't been heroes. But I wanted to know what it's like to walk in the shoes of a hero, because I see that there's a lot of hurt from every direction, and I hope to have a healing show where we can better understand the life of a police officer, if that's what's hurting us, that we can better understand ways that we can make the public feel at ease, that we can help the way that we view things, and that we can look at ways that we can make everyone feel better, that we can come together, because we're all in it for the right thing, just going about it the wrong way.
Right. That's what God wants His kids to play well together. There's no doubt about it. So, Amy, thank you. Again, you want to tune in at 1 o'clock, or, you know, by all means, you got a great lineup coming because you've got encouraging prayer coming up, the Maslin Journey, and then Amy Cabo comes on at 1, and you can call in with your view. You can even talk to the police officer. That's going to be on today at 1 o'clock. Thank you, Amy. God bless you. I appreciate you calling in today.
God bless you, too.
All right. Bye-bye. All right, so we still have, as you might imagine, Dean and Mark. And Dean, the reason why I asked that question that we left, you know, as we left that segment talking about there's a physical healing, and you have a beautiful picture that you were talking about, one of the characters in your book, looking into the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus Himself, this sinless person touching them or putting spit on their eyes, whatever happened, you know, there's some pretty miraculous stuff. Well, I myself... It was interesting. Early on in my walk with Jesus, I had lymphoma, which was actually supposedly killer cell lymphoma that was supposed to take me out. And you know, to give the short story, a lot of people have heard this many times from me, but I'll give you the short story, is I had been a Christian maybe 2 or 3 years, and I'm trying to wonder what the heck, but I did have this feeling like, well, if I die, I get to be with Jesus, so I guess, you know, it's all good, but I don't want my family to be without, you know, and that was kind of where I was. And I was a dealer, the Chrysler dealer in Winston-Salem, and one day this pastor comes up and he tells one of my managers, he said, God told me there was somebody here that needed to be healed, and so I've come to pray over him. And that manager said, well, that must be Robbie, because he's covered in these sores that were the tumors that were all over my body. And he said he's back in his office. He won't come out because he looks like Job the freak. You know, it's just crazy. And so here comes this little pastor. And I thought he was nuts. I had no idea what getting anointed by oil was or laying hands. And this guy's doing all this stuff, right? I mean, it's just like, oh, my goodness. And so he does all this. And I could tell that something had happened. And I understand that I was covered in what these lymphoma was cutaneous, and so the cancers were round things that were all over my body. Well, I was supposed to start chemotherapy that Monday, and this was on a Friday afternoon. Monday morning when I woke up, I did not have, and I know there were a lot of people praying for me, but I always felt that one was kind of special because God, he told me, and God sent him. It's part of the relationship you're talking about. That I woke up Monday morning without a single, I went from like, you had to see this to believe it, to absolutely clear, like nothing had ever happened to me. And they took all kind of pictures and, you know, did all sorts of biopsies, and they ended up giving me chemotherapy anyway, but they decided that the cancer turned on itself and ate itself. What I know is that I got Jesus's DNA based on what you're telling me, you know, and I'm thinking that, you know, like, wow, I had, you know, that's just a beautiful picture of how it really did for me personally. It went from a physical healing to where he's taken me relationally since, you know, that was in 1996. So, oh my goodness. And so is that kind of what your characters like? I know that was a really long story to get to a really short question.
No, that's a great story. It just builds my faith up when I hear that. And through the years, I've seen people heal miraculously, and I've seen people go through great suffering. And one of the key characters, Lindsay Batchelor, tries to figure out why his godly father suffered 18 years with leukemia before passing away, and it kind of put his faith on hold. And throughout the book, he struggles with why do some get healed and why do some not get healed? And so that question is related back to some of the healings that went on. You know, Jesus walked out of a house and looked to his left, and there was a mother carrying her dead son to be buried. Nobody asked Jesus to do a thing. Nobody had faith. Nobody came and begged him to heal. He just said to himself, no, there's death there, and I am the Lord of life. And he walked over and touched that boy and woke him up. And so, you know, what a miracle when we see healing, and it does change an individual for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Okay. We got so much more, King. Well, we don't have that much more. We got one more segment of Kingdom of Pursuits coming up, so stay tuned for that. We are so excited again to have on Dean Breyer and Mark Johnson, The Covenant Marriage. Stay tuned. So much more. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. We're so blessed today to have with us Dean Breyer with his book, The Soth Initiative. And of course, it's available at Amazon, and you can find it at kingdompursuits.com, wherever you want to check it out. Again, the book's called The Soth Initiative, as well as Mark Johnson, and he is the author of The Covenant Marriage. And Mark's been very patient as we didn't get to him in the last segment. I apologize for that, but we're going to make up for it now, Mark.
All right.
As you had a chance to listen to all that, I was wondering your thoughts on where covenant fits into that.
And I do have a couple, because we're talking about transformation. You know, talking about transformed DNA. We're talking about healings. We're talking about healing leading to relationship. And transformation of some type. Okay, well, let's look at the covenant. Okay, we said it is not a contract. It's not a list of to do because I said so. What it is actually an exchange of identity and nature. Why did Jesus come to earth as a human? Like all of the things that Jesus did, what we'll see is they're because of covenant. All the things he asked of us are because of covenant. So what is a covenant? There are four principal features of this type of covenant. And this applies both to marriage and the new covenant and to blood covenants. This is where, you know, Trumbull came in analyzing all this stuff, but seeing the common elements. What it is, first, there is an exchange of nature and identity, which leads to a new identity for the participants. In a marriage, we call this one flesh. Okay, as we enter this, the identity of our wife or husband enters the other party through sexual intercourse. There's a physical exchange in marriage that accomplishes this, which is why God said to be so guarded about sexual intercourse and only use it in a particular context, because it creates this joining of nature and identity. And so you got these two beings that now share a nature and identity, the model for which, by the way, is the Trinity. So a marriage is a reflection of the Trinity in the sense that you have individual beings, but they're joined by a bond of nature and identity. So what you have is a being that is not the same as he or she was before the marriage. In other words, there's the new birth of a new creature. Now, in the New Covenant, that language is specifically used. You're now born again, you're a new creature, a new being. So you now have literally a new nature as you enter these relationships. What we see is God's telling us in everything he says to do and be in the Scriptures to authentically express the new being that we have become. What we run into in the practice of these things is we drag into these relationships the guidance system, the habits, the viewpoints, the priorities that were formed in our old life for an old being that no longer exists. So the beauty, the genius of covenant is that we are transformed into something different. We literally become a new being. Now, in most Christian teaching, those realities are kind of glossed over. Just go out and do what you're supposed to do, because. But if instead we realize that what God is inviting us to do is grow up this new being that has been made and now remade in his image, now joined to him in the same bond we originally had in the Garden of Eden before we fell, that communion with God. So we've got this amazing relationship that we can develop. The problem is we have to develop it. In a marriage, we're now joined uniquely to another being. We're told to love the other person as we love ourselves, because in a real sense, they now have become ourselves. You know, so that's a game changer, at least it was for me, as I'm looking at my wife, seeing who she actually is. That completely changed the way I approached her. And so building on that foundation and then realizing that what we're called on to do and to be in these relationships in marriage or with God is a growth process that leads to building the deepest love. It leads to building the best working relationship, like Dungy said. It has every element, and God, being God, has made the perfect vehicle for this. If we understand it, get in the vehicle and go with it, and you know, drive it the way it's intended to be driven. You know, it actually can do these things. The problem is we see so little of this model around us, and frankly, we hear so little of it taught in our churches. Yeah. And to me, that was the tragedy that motivated me to spend the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours it took to produce these books, because I'm not a professional theologian. I'm not a pastor. I'm a physician.
Well, Mark, you know, we only have about a minute left, and so I wanted to give Dean, sort of, you know, another opportunity to share a little bit what he would want the listeners to know about his book in 30 seconds.
Well, in 30 seconds, it's a book about relationship with Jesus. It's a book about people coming to know Christ from all different walks and religions. And it's a book that that truly goes into the theological difference between a relationship and a religious experience. And it's exciting because people that are seeking God and people that are knowing God can both be encouraged and challenged by the book. So I'm excited to get it out there in people's hands.
Yeah, very cool. It's called, again, the Soth, S-O-T-H, Initiative. And again, Mark Johnson's second book, The Covenant of Marriage, it goes along with his other book, The Covenant. Of course, those are all available at Amazon, which is a great way to do it. And it is like with all authors, you know, after you read it, go back and give them 5 stars, tell them what you think about it, or give them one star and tell them what you think about it. Whatever it is, they love feedback. Who wouldn't? They put all these hours you just heard about into it. So we're so grateful for you listening today. I mean, we would have nothing if we didn't have our listeners. So we're so grateful. And we just hope that you would continue to pray for us, the Truth Network, that we would continue to have truth through encouraging prayer coming up next in the Masculine Journey and Amy Cabo at 1 o'clock.